Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf lamites. We're holding at Tana, which is the third line from the top of the Amud, but that Tana is an appendage to the lengthier braisa that we already started yesterday. So we have to do a quick chazar of what we learned yesterday. You recall back on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, we had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. We might as well follow in the Gemara, because Osios Machkimois, but we'll skip around a little bit. So starting on the fifth wide line of the Amud Beis, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, it says, Itmar, Shavui Shenishba, Rachman Litzlan, a person was taken into captivity. Rachman Litzlan reminds us what's going on nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. We're mispalel and we learn bischus, lischus, for all of the hostages that they should be freed as soon as possible and they should be come home in good health. So what does it say in the Gemara? Shavui Shenishba. You don't want the property to lay fallow. He owns real estate. So Rav Omar, Imayrin Karav v'Nechosav. Sorry, you cannot go and be moited a Karav to his Nechosim. The Karav that we're talking about is someone that would be Ro'oi L'Yorishoi, that if we find out that Rachman al-Islam, this person passed away, he would be the Yorish. Says Rav, I don't care, don't let him go into the field and work the field. Well, Shmuel Omar, Moiridin Karav v'Nechosav. No, we do allow someone the immediate future Yorish. So the Gemara now explains. In a case of Bishishamu Boi Shemes, if we heard that Nebuch, this hostage, this person who had been taken into captivity, Nebuch passed away, Kuli Amalei Pligi Demoiridin, then for sure we would. Now, when the Gemara says Bishishamu Boi Shemes, it doesn't mean with Edom. It doesn't mean with clear-cut evidence. We're only talking about with a Shmuah. Shmua means that there is a rumor going around that never the person passed away. If that's the case, everybody agrees, both Rav and Shmuel, that will be Moirid Yoirish L'Nechosot. The Yoirish meaning the closest ear to the person who is rumored to have passed away. So where's the Machloikis? B'shaloi Shavu Boi Shemes. We didn't hear any story that he died. Rav says, Eimirin D'l'mafsid L'hum. We're afraid that if you're going to install his immediate Yoirish, he might milk the property and squeeze it for whatever it's worth and not make any renovations, not make any improvements, but rather just to try to squeeze out whatever income is possible. We are Moiridin, given the Omer Mar Shemin Luhu Ka'oris Loi Mafsal Luhu. Shmuel holds, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that since if this individual that was taken as a hostage returns safely in Mi'etz Hashem, we don't have to worry about the person who was the Yoresh that put in all of this time and his effort. Why? Because we're going to pay him nicely, like in Oris. Whatever the mini kamokim is, lemechza, leshlish, v'lerviyah. So he has a real incentive to go and work on this field and do a good job. So now we want to ask the kasha. We'll skip the kasha and teret. We're going to go down to Tanoihi, where that's about 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the end of the line, says, Umayridin korev lenechse shavoi. Now in the beginning of the line, Tanoi is a machloikis, Tanoim this sanya. And now we have a braisa. And the braisa gives us three categories. Just to do it bekitzur. First category is shavuyim. Second category is nitushim. Third category is ritushim. What's the nafkimin? In all three cases, we're talking about that the owner of a piece of property is no longer around. The case of the shmuyim is that Nebuch a hostage, where there's a shmua ro'a, that the person has passed away. In that case, we'll see in the braisa, kuli alma moidi, that you allow a person, an immediate korei, to go and take over the property and work the property, based on the assumption that Nebuch, the immediate family member, has passed away. The second case is nitushim. That's the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. That's the case where, again, the person was taken into captivity, but we don't know the circumstances. There was no Shmuel that he passed away. The hope is that he's still alive. Rav and Shmuel had a machloikis. We'll see in the braisa that there's also machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Then the third case is going to be the ritushin case, where no one was taken into captivity, Baruch Hashem, but rather a person left town unexpectedly without leaving a note, without leaving any replacement to work the property. In such a case, everybody agrees, do not be moired a korov lenichsei, the owner of these ritushim. So let's go quickly through the braisa. Look to Mara. Tanoi, he decided with the braisa. The first case is the shvuyim case, where it's talking about, as you'll see, that there's a shmua that Nebuch, the person who owned the property, is no longer. He passed away. Everybody agrees you allow the korah to go in the nechosim of this shavui. What happens if miraculously we hear the good news, the person did not die, he is still alive, and we hear that he's coming home? The kodem v'tolesh v'acham, if the korah who went down to nechse shavui worked the property and now is upset, he spent all this time and all this labor and all this effort on this property, what he can do is he can get the fruits of his labor by quickly being tolish, pull out whatever vegetables, whatever tvua, whatever peiros are available, and shnel v'achal, and he can take them. If he does that, arizezoriz v'niskar, he has accomplished his mission, so to speak. Meaning that because he put in all the time and effort, we have rachmanis on him, and we say to ourselves, it's not fair that he worked this property for 6 months, and now the shavui will come back, and he will take all the profits and all the income, so he can be toilish, be ochal, no problem. Now we spoke about nechsi shavui. What's the definition? Ve'elehei nechsi shavuyin, har shahoya ovev, ve'yocha, ve'yechem, and ve'yrishin, hochul ha'am l'mdina seyam. The words hochul ha'am l'mdina seyam is a little bit inappropriate, because we're not talking about Holchulahem, we're talking about Shavuyim. He was never taken as a hostage. V'shamu behen shemeis, and we heard a shmur ra'ah that he died. Oh, then kuli alma moida moiridin yoyrish or korev the nichsi shavui, and the Braisa told us not only that, but if miraculously Baruch Hashem the hostage is alive and he's coming home, he can be caught in the tolash and he's zoris. That was case number one, shvuyim. Remember, that everybody agreed to from before. We said before that, Rav and Shmuel, kishishomu boi shemes, kol yamal epligi demayrim. Next case. This is now the netushim case. Hayur nechsi netushim. Says the Tanakama, moitzin ois miyodei. Get out of the property. Not only are we not moirid lichatchila, but if somebody, if a korev went into the property, we schlep him away. What's the definition of next institution? Har shoyi ovi v'yochav yechem in arishin. Holchalem l'mdina siyam. V'loi shamu behem shemeis. Again, a shovui situation, but we did not hear the shmua ra. To our knowledge, he's still alive. Says the Tanakama, moitino ismiyo, they don't put anybody into the property. V'yomrib shem gamliel, shemati shenitushim kishvuyim. They're just like by shvuyim. You were moirid korev lenichsei shavui. Same thing by netushim. You are moirid. So the boy said, before we continue the braisa, we have now fulfilled our mission vis-a-vis that moiridin korev lenichsei shavui tanoihi. We have a machloikis tanoi. Where's that machloikis in the case of the netushim, which is factually the same case that Rab and Shmuel are arguing about? What is that case? A shavui shenishba v'loishamu shemeis. Loishamu shemeis is machlokes. Rav says, ain't my reading karvu nechsei shavui. We're afraid that he's going to milk the property. Shmuel says, no, my reading karvu nechsei shavui, because he's going to be paid like an oris. Oh, so the intuition is just that case, where the Tanakhama says, moitzin ois miyave, get him out, because ain't my reading like Rav. Reb Shem Gamliel said, no, no, netushim are like shvuyim, leave the person there, he's allowed to go and be yoyed and a chosev and work the property. Oh, so we fulfilled what we wanted to do. But now let's finish the braisa. Hayoyed and a chosev netushim, moitzin oisim yodah. If it's retushim, then everybody agrees, take the guy out. So now we have really three, it's like mikotza lekotza. In the first case, it was shvuyim, where we heard that Nebuch the Shavui die. Kuli alma moida, moiridin nechasav. Everybody agrees you are moirid. In this third case of retushin, everybody agrees, ein moiridin, moitzinois meyo, they schlep him out. It's the case of the nitushin, where there was a machoikis between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So now what's the definition of retushin? Shelly, thanks for joining us. We're three lines from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Ve'eivrei nechzi retushin, harishay yov v'yachav yechav in a retushin. Ka'an. So Rashi explains, this is not a shovui situation. This is a situation where someone decided on his own, one Sunday morning, after the daf, everybody's expecting him to come home and to eat breakfast and all the rest. And what did he do? Erez nishdor. He ran away. Now, since he's leaving on his own, he was not forced to leave. He's doing it willingly, says Rashi. Then why didn't he appoint someone to take over in his possessions? He should have said, Yanko, I'm going away for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. Do me a favor. In the interim, I don't want my field to stay there fallow. Go in and plant it and fertilize it and irrigate it and Mirta Sheman will split the payers. You'll be an oris, you get a nefesh lishvari. He didn't say anything. He just abandoned the field and the family and the community. And he went away. Well, in such a case, since he didn't appoint anybody, we tell anybody that goes in, Aros, you have no right to go into this property. Zoktimar, last line. Maishna hanaf dekholin in nutushim, maishna hani dekoruluhu ritushim. Obviously the two words are very similar. Why is the middle case called nitushim, third case called ritushim? Says Imar, top of Lamites. Nitushim the Bal Korcha Tachsiv Ashviyis Tishmetenu Unetashta. That's Afkata the Malka. Remember, Nitushim is talking about a hostage situation, Rachmanu Litzlan. And we did not hear Shemes, Lo Shemanu Shemes. The reason why the Braisa calls it Nitushim is because the person has been taken away against his will. Just like when it comes Shmita, you lose your loan against your will. Afkata the Malka. Here too, this person has lost his possession and his very being against his will because he's been stolen and kidnapped. Retushin, however, means a person who left his property and abandoned it willingly to midatam. Tachsiv im albonim rutosha. This is a pasuk in Hosea. The pasuk is referring to, Rashi explains in some detail, that you had the enemies were coming towards that community. And the people in the community heard the rumblings of the enemy, and therefore many of them decided to quickly pack up their families, pack up their stuff, and run for the hills. So Eimal Bana means the mother, together with the children, Rutosha, abandoned that community to save themselves, to save their lives. I hear too, the word Rutushin is that a person abandoned his family and his possessions, ran away, and hopefully will eventually return. Okay, so with this we have, Baruch Hashem, accomplished what we set out to do, and that is we have established that the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, in fact, is a Machloikis Tanoim, in the case of the Nitushim, Machloikis Tanakama, and Rav Shimon Amliel. Now the Braisa says at the end, Tanoim, V'kulan Shaman Lehen Ka'aris, in all the cases of the person that we were Morid Lina Chasov, that we allowed him to work the property, at the end of the day, we allow him to go and collect cars. Now, obviously, we're talking about a situation where eventually the person who owned the field passed away. Because if he's still alive, the other way around, it's talking about that he's still alive. Because if he passed away, then this koroy that we were moired, l'nechasav, he is the yoresh, and he's just going to take over the property. Rashi said already yesterday that the koroy that we're moired means hakorov hakorov koydim, the one that's the closest in terms of relationship. Okay, that being the case, if in fact the real owner in captivity or had been kidnapped or the one that abandoned the property, if he died, then the Yorish takes over. So this Yorish means that the original owner came back, Baruch Hashem. Now what do we give as a present or as the fair wage to the person that was working the property? We give him Yorish. Like an artist, lemechza lishlish v'raviyah. So, Frey Timur Ahai, which case is this going on? Is this case going on the Shibuyim, the nitushin or the ritushin. Inlay mashvuyin, we're going on the case number one, shvuyin. Again, what means shvuyin? Someone was taken as a hostage. And shamu boy shemes. Now what does the Braisa say? That if we heard that miraculously, Baruch Hashem, the hostages are coming home, then mamash mashin uboim, what he can do is, he can be kodam betolash viochal harizin zoriz veniska. So afraid tomorrow, hash zoriz veniska haba, my de ashbach mi boya, he gets much better than just lemechel shvishvaravia. He can collect all the payros that he worked for over the last few months. He planted and he sowed and he irrigated and he fertilized. Shteg the Braisa, he has the right to go and take everything. So in Bazoi, what are we talking about that he takes like an artist? And la ritushin, we skip the middle case for a moment, is it going on the ritushin, which is the final case, from the Braisa says, if someone took over someone else's abandoned property, where the person left willingly, without leaving any instructions, the Braisa says, don't allow anyone to enter into the property, because since when this person left, he could have, would have, should have left instructions as to who's going to take over the property, but he didn't, so it's as if he just simply abandoned it, and that's the case. It says, Moitzinois Miyadi, everybody agrees, take out this koroi from the property, you have no business being there. Aros. So of course we're not going to go and pay him koros, he doesn't deserve a prize or a wage, he had no business being there in the first place. El anitushim, it must be on that middle case. Now remember, the middle case is a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Islamah. Ilem leter Rabbanon, who amim moitzino isim yodai. Again, the Rabbanon hold like Rav, or Rav holds like the Rabbanon, the moitzino isim yodai, we go and schlep the property out of his hand. In other words, we kick him out. If we kick him out, then we don't give him a wage. We don't give him like a sharecropper, like an artist. El amay Rav Shimon Gamliel, who amr shemati shenitushin, Kishvuyin. Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa used the expression, her and Tushim have the same din, Kishvuyin. No, just like by Yeshovoy we said, Hari Zerd Zoriz Viniskar, if he quickly is Kodam the Tolash, he plucks out the Tvua or whatever, he's Zoriz Viniskar, so then there's no din of Shomel Hem Ka'aris. So Amr Shemati Shem Tushin Kishvuyin. So which case is the Shomel Ka'aris go on? It's not going on the first case, not going on the second, not going on the third. So which case is it going on? It's going on Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it's talking about Nitushin. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, since the person is a Shavui, V'loy Shamu Boy Shemes. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, allow for a Korev to be Yoyreit L'nichsei the Shavui. No problem. In that respect, Netushim are like Shvuyim, but not in every respect. Kishvuyim v'loy Shvuyim. Kishvuyim t'ein moitin oisim yavay. Like we just said, that we allow the person to go and be yoyrei l'nichsei that Shavuy. V'loy Shvuyim, but they're not full-fledged Shvuyim. T'iluhasim, in the case of the Shvuyim, where we heard Shem Meis, Zoriz v'niskar, since he put in all his time and his effort, after all he assumed that he now owns the property because he heard that Nebuch, the original owner, was not only kidnapped, but he heard Nebuch, he was killed. So he spent a lot of time and effort and energy and overhead expense in renovating the property and making the property nice and strong and gewaldig. So he has the right to go and take the fruits of his labors and tolash, kodem the tolash, zoriz and iska. Vilahocha, in this case, where it was nitushim, he only knows the fact that the immediate relative was unfortunately taken into captivity. But he didn't hear anything about his passing away. He assumes that he's still alive somewhere. Then, Shamina Leka'aris, then we're going to go and give him Lemechta Leshlish Verevia. So that's what the Bryce is going on. Tana Vekulam, Shamalem Ka'aris is talking about Netushim, Aliva Tripshim Lingamdil. The Gemara is going to ask in a few more lines if you're taking this halacha and you're saying it only applies in one out of the three cases, and it only applies to Shimon Gamliel, not according to everybody, why does he use the Braisa use this expansive lashon, the kulan shamanen karis? Where else? It's only in this case where Shimon Gamliel holds that Netushim are like Shvuyim, and not like full-fledged Shvuyim, but only like Halba Shvuyim, because full-fledged Shvuyim they'd be able to be Zaris Veniskar, go and schlep out because of the Talash. It's talking about the case where it was Kishvuyim, V'loi Kishvuyim, Netushim, V'loi Kishvuyim, that what? That Ein Moitzin Oysim Yodoi, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel's Shita. However, if the person comes home, Yetz Hashem, what's the din? Shemin Leikar. So the Gemara is going to ask, what's this Fekula? So stay tuned in another 10 lines or so. Frankly, what am I Shlomi Ha? I have a problem. I have a Mishnah that not, Hamuitzi Yetzoyis Al Nechzi Ishtoi. What happens if you have a husband and wife, and she brought in Nechzi Malug to the Chasana? So now he has a Nechzi Malug, and he uses it to go and produce income, and those payers belong to him, and he shares it with the rest of the family. So now, they got married, Baruch Hashem, and now he has the Nechzi Malug. He has spent a lot of money in the meantime to renovate and to refurbish this property to make it strong and income producing. What happens? Unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, the marriage did not last very long. Either because Nebuchadnezzar passed away, she passed away, or because it was a get. So what happens now? Now that the marriage is terminated, he is very upset. He spent twice $100,000 for this property, and he only got $10,000 payers in return. Now, don't think that automatically means that he is an incompetent investor. It could very well be this is for a long time refurbishing and renovation. Anybody that's ever been in business and has to immediately start off, there are a lot of startup costs. You buy a new property, let's say you buy an apartment building or whatever, so before you are able to go and raise the income and get a nice income stream, very often you have to renovate a bunch of apartments and you have to go and fix the boiler and you have to fix the roof and you fix this. So you can start off with a huge amount of capital expense and you're hoping to get it back after a year or two or three. It's not going to happen, you know, instantaneously. But the person did the right thing in making these investments. So here too, the person invested a lot. Hoitzi harbe, tons of money he put into this property. V'achal kima, but he only ate a misala. In other words, the first year's returns were not the commensurate with the amount of expense that he put in. Or it could be the other way around. Kima v'achal harbe, he put in very little expense and he ate a lot. In other words, he perhaps milked the property. So what happens now? So does he have a taina against her? Or does she have a taina against him? In other words, can he give her a bill and say, I invested $100,000. I only ate $10,000. I want you to pay me $90,000. Or is it the other way around? That what happens if he only put in $10,000 and he ate $100,000? Maybe she's going to say, pay me the $90,000. So what's it in? Says the Mishnah, Masha hoitzi hoitzi masha ochal ochal. That's history. He cannot give her a bill, and she cannot give him a bill. Whatever he ate, he ate. Whatever he didn't, he didn't. So even if he lost money, tafak. So Frank Gemara, why don't we say over there too? Shaman loika aris. That in fact, if he lost out money because of the fact that he only had a little bit, so give him a wage or a share like an aris. Or fakert, if he went and he ate a lot, why do we allow him to go and collect everything? Why shouldn't he have to go and cough up a portion of what he received and give it back to his former wife? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Why is our situation, you get like an oris, and the situation over there is Masha Ochal Ochal? I'll explain to you. Our case of the Netushin and the case of the oris, that is similar to another case, not the case of the regular husband and wife, but a husband who married a ketana elohod. Here it says ditnan, but on the side it says it's really not a mishnah, it's not a brisa, it's a memra of Rav Chisda. Diomer Yudam Rav Chisda, Vosatek Ezot, Hamoitzi Hoitzois al Nechsi Ishte Ketano, Kimoitzi al Nechsi Achadam. What is this all about? You have a case of a kedushin dirabana. Why is it Kedushin Dirabanan? Because unfortunately there is no father. You have a Yesoima, and the Yesoima is being married off by her mother or by her older brother, or brothers. What happens now? it's an effective kedusha midrabanan. But since it's midrabanan, the same rabbanan said, what happens if this marriage does not last until her bas mitzvah? She can be mimma enes. Mimma enes means that she can go and say, I refuse to continue living with this husband. Now, this husband knows that if she ever gets insulted or offended or she feels bad, on the spot, she calls together two people, three people. It's machlokes where the miyun requires just edim or a bezin, but she can go and say that my husband has been very miyun to me, and there shall be mema enes against her husband. She doesn't want to continue living with him. Ah, so now every husband that marries such a ketana will say, oy vai, I'm going to go and spend all this time and all this labor and all this effort to go and produce peiros, and then when all the peiros are finally harvested, she's going to go and say, all right, husband, thank you, but no thanks. I'm here with my enes, and I want to keep all of the peiros that you just harvested. Ah, so what's the halacha there? I'm sorry?
And there's no get, there's no nothing.
No get and no nothing. Okay, good. So there's only a case of...
But she gets everything.
She wants to get everything without the benefit of a get. Exactly. So what does it say? Hamoitze tois ha-nechzi ishtoi ketana. It's like going into somebody else's property to be a boy scout when the other person cannot work in his property. So what do you get? You get not a get that Shelley's talking about, but you get like an oris. Oh, in that case of the ketana, the chachamim were concerned. Leisamchadaita means he is not relying that this is going to be a long-term marriage. He is very concerned that this marriage may end very, very quickly. So since he's not Samech Das, the Rabbanan are concerned. He might just milk the property, figuring, why should I invest anything? I'm going to invest and spend my time and my effort and my money, and then she's going to snap her fingers and say, I'm out of here, I'm the manis. So therefore they gave her like an aris. Same thing over here, the gabe the nitushim. The reason why we give him ka'aris, like it said in the braisa, turn the kun shemlim ka'aris, because we want to make sure that he doesn't say to himself, well, you know, maybe the shavi will return, and he's going to return unexpectedly. Why should I put in all this time and effort? He might just milk the property. So therefore we tell him, you'll get like a sharecropper, and therefore it will be worth his while to spend time and spend effort, because he's going to get a nice share of the profits. But that's only in that case where everything is in doubt. Both in the case of the ketana, things are in doubt, in the case of the shovi, things are in doubt. But in the case of the wife, after all, he's the one in charge of giving the get. It's not that she can go and pull the plug, only he can pull the plug. So, since he is so mechtas that this marriage will last until he gets fed up with her, so in the meantime, he's willing to go and invest and spend the money, and that's why we say, Masha'och al-Och. Right, we go back to the question that we asked before. The Bryce, it says, V'kulun shomel hen ka'aris. What does this kulun come to include? We only have that one case of the nitushin aliv the Shimon and Gamliel. Oh, what did Shmuel say? Shavi shenishba, moridin karav l'nechasav, yotzel edas, and moridin karav l'nechasav. This halach of Shmuel is really a repeat of the netushim and the ritushim case, that if it's a shavi shenishba, and remember it's talking about loy shamu boishem meis, moridin karav l'nechasav, then you allow the karav to come in, and he will hopefully do a nice job on the property, and if and when the original owner returns, he gets like an artist. On the other hand, Yotzel Das, it's a retushin situation, where the owner left, not because he was taken into captivity. He just decided one morning he's going to run away. Abraham Karv the Chosov, since he didn't stipulate who should take over the property, the hope is that he's going to return sooner or later, and therefore, since he didn't say who should take over, nobody should take over. So this was Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. For Rav Nachman Didei Omer, Rav Nachman in his own right, on his own behalf, said, Bireach Harihu Kishavui, that a Bireach has the same status like a Shavui. Now notice, we didn't mention the word bayreach until now, and now the question is, what means bayreach? Bayreach machmas mai. Why did he flee? Did he flee because of the impending tax assessment? What does he mean to say? So Rashi explains that every year, once a year, the king sends down his governor and his tax collectors to go and collect taxes. And each person is going to have to cough up the tax. So a lot of people don't like paying taxes. Hard to believe, but that's the way, that's human nature. And therefore this person decided, when the king or the governor is going to try to collect the tax, I won't be here, so he won't be able to collect it from me. It'll be his headache, not my headache. I'll come back in the after Shem in 2 months from now, when the tax collection season is over. So even machmas karga haino l'das. So isn't that the same as what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that a person was yotzel l'das, eimer reading karga l'chasev? And that's the case over here too. The Bereach Machmas Karga, you know why he didn't appoint anybody to take over the property? Because in the meantime, he's going to run away. He'll be back in the Yet Shem in a month or two after the tax collectors have left town, and then he'll take the property back. So why is Rav Nachman D-Day introducing a new case for Bereach Haru Kishobu? That's what Shmuel was talking about. Yotzel Adas. Someone who killed someone, even if he was justified. You remember how that Gemara, the end in the Sechtes Baba Kama, with Rav Kahana that killed a Moiser, and then he had to flee to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi cites the Gemara without going into any detail. Anyway, so that Bereach Machmas Mardin, he had to flee. What's the din about a person like that? Oh, that wasn't the case of the Tanakhama. That's a new case of Rav Nachman. That by Reach Hari Hu Kishavui, and just like by Shavui, my reading Karav Linachosav, here too by the Bereach Machmas Mardin, we're going to go and appoint someone Marin Karav Linachosav, and if and when the Bereach Machmas Mardin returns, at that point, we're going to give the Karav the din of Shaman Lehem Ka'aris. So therefore, getting back to the top of the Amid where we said, Tana de Kulam Shaman Lehem Ka'aris, and we ask, what does that kulam come to include? Not only does it include nitushim, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but it also includes this new case of the Bereach Machmas Mardin. Until now, when we spoke about the Shovi Shenishba, the Brisa didn't address it, but the assumption was we're talking about September, October time, when this is the appropriate time for people to start putting in a lot of time and effort and energy and expense into a property. You go and plow the field, you have to irrigate the field, you have to go and fertilize the field, and you have to plant the field. So we had a whole discussion, according to Rav and Shmuel, do you or do you not be moided korav l'chosav? Here we're talking about a situation where it's already April, May time, which means it's already time for the harvest. Will we allow a korev to come in? Says Shmuel, initially we will not allow a korev. We'll rather go and have a nochri. Nochri means a third party who is unrelated. We'll allow him to come in, to go and be koitzer, the kama. The Gemara is giving four examples of crops which are already ready. And as you all know, the Lashon HaKodesh is much richer in many respects to other languages. So for instance, for harvesting, when we talk about harvesting, a harvest of the harvest, it makes no difference whether you're talking about wheat or grapes or dates or olives. You harvested them or you cut them. However, in Lashon HaKodesh, kam is litzar, like you find in the Torah, k'tzira sa'omer, anovim is litzar, that's b'tzira sa'novim, tomorrow, Ligdor, Zaysim Limsaik, all of those means it's the time now to harvest this produce because it's ready. What happens now? First you have an apotropos. He goes and cuts everything down. And we're going to go and pay him a wage for whatever he did. And then the Bezin will impound all of that, all of the produce. Obviously, if the produce is going to be able to stick around for a while, we're not going to sell it. But if it's avudim, if we find that unfortunately it's going downhill, it's decaying, then we have yesterday's Mishnah, the machlokes the Tana Kama, and I believe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What are we going to do with it? What did the Mishnah say? The Tana Kama says, "Hamafke pays its chaveray." Afil heinavudim lo yigaven. Don't sell them. Shem Gamliel says, "Moichvos neibezin." You should sell them because he's like a meishir avek. So same thing over here. The bezin will take all of the fruits of his labors and they'll impound it. We'll pay the apotropos. Then we say, "Apotropos, thank you. You did a great job." V'yachach medim korav lechasav. And then we're going to have a korav take over the property. In other words, to put in all the renovations and all of the expense and work on it for the next season. Okay, so we split up between the apotropos and the korav. Frank, the more of apotropos with oilam. Since we allow the apotropos to go there initially, why don't we allow him to stay there? Why don't we bring the korav after that? It's about apotropos and dignity. The whole idea of an apotropos, a guardian, is for ketanim, is for youngsters, but not dignity. The word dignity is like the word zekenim, people that have beards. So we don't mean literally beards. What we mean to say is you appoint an apotropos for small kids, but not for adults. Now you're going to ask the question, why don't we have the korav go initially? Why do we have the apotropos go initially? So there seems to be a concern that if the korav goes immediately and he sees all of these wonderful koma liktzar and ovum liktzar, he might decide to keep some of that for himself. So therefore, we don't want that to happen. We have the apotropos who's disinterested. He'll get his wage, and the apotropos will take care of the harvest, give it all to the bezin. The bezin will take care of it from there. And then, now when it comes the new season, we allow the korav to be yored and the chosif to take over. Okay, new shnikel. Amar Rav Huna, ein moirin katan l'nichsei shavui. What happens if the shavui who was captured has one son, and that son is 10 years old, 12 years old? Now he's a bright kid, and now we're thinking to ourselves, the shavui is not here, the katan is the most direct Yoresh, he is the son, let him take over. Says Rav Huna, no, don't let him take over, since he's just a katan. He doesn't really understand the intricacies of producing payers and investing and all the rest. And we say, sorry fellow, you have to wait for a gadol. And therefore, in the meantime, we're going to appoint an apotropos to take over the nichsei shavui. And like korav l'nichsei katan, we won't allow for Kroivin to take over the chasm of a cotton. If a cotton was never taken in captivity, and he has a korav, don't let the korav take over. Why not? Because we're afraid that this, and by the way, it doesn't have to be cotton necessarily that was taken to captivity. It could be a yosin where the father passed away, Rahman al-Islam, and now you have a cotton who owns the property. Since the cotton doesn't know how to work the property, so don't appoint a korav to take over the nechsei katan, and we'll see in the Gemara momentarily the reason is because we're afraid that the korav will act even post katnus as the owner. After all, the katan is only 8, 10, 11, 12. He's still a young kid. He doesn't know who the real owner of the property is. So when his uncle takes over, or someone else from the family takes over the property, he will assume, you know, it's only natural, it belongs to him. So even when the cotton becomes bar mitzvah, and even 3 years and 10 years later, until someone tells him, you should know that this property belonged to your father, he doesn't know anything about it. So don't allow the cotton to take over, because he might afterwards claim that the property is his. The Gemara is going to explain in another couple of lines. V'lo korav machmas korav l'nichsei katan. We also don't allow one korav who's a korav of a korav, a nichsei katan. What means a korav of a korav? So let's just wait one more moment, the Gemara will explain. We start again. Ein moirin katan l'nichsei shavui. Dil mafsa lehu. Because if you have a katan taking over the property, since he's allowed by da'as, he might just ruin the property, not intentionally, just because he doesn't know how to work the property. V'lo korav machmas korav. Now we skipped the middle case, we're going to get back to that. We're going to get to the korav machmas korav nichsei katan. That's talking about achei me'ima. Now, what means achei me'ima? So Rashi explains that you have a situation of a double half brother. You have one yingala that owns the property. We already said don't let in his brother or other korav to take over, because he might afterwards claim that the property is his. Aha. So what happens if this boy has a half-brother, and that half-brother says, oh, I'd like to take over the property on behalf of the cotton. No, we will not allow it because he's going to claim, perhaps, that the property is his. Fine. So this half-brother, brothers min ho'av, goes and takes a second half-brother. The half-brother is an ach min ho'ei, meaning that this, let's talk about Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven is a cotton. He's only 10 years old. Reuven has a brother who's Shimon, who's an ach min ho'av. They have the same father. Don't allow him to take over the property because he may claim in subsequent years the property is his. Okay. What happens if this Shimon, who's the ach min ho'av, has himself an ach min ho'ein, another brother from the same mother? However, Levi, that brother from the mother, is totally unrelated to Reuven. He's not a koroiv to the cotton. Don't let him get into the property either. Why? Because this ach min ho'ein in later years may say, I was just taking care of the property on behalf of my brother, the ach min ho'ein. And that brother, who's the ach min ho'ein, will say, yeah, the property really belongs to me, and not to the cotton, who's the ach min ho'av. So if we're going to take the property away from Reuven, and we're going to let Levi work the property, even though Levi is not a korev, he's not related at all to Reuven, in subsequent years, Levi may say, I was holding on to it on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon will say, yeah, it was my property all along. So we don't want to have that situation, so we don't allow a korev min ha-korev. Okay?
That's a half-brother of a half-brother.
A half-brother of a half-brother, exactly right. And now we go back to case number two, for a korev l'michzei cotton, kivin d'lei machi, since the cotton doesn't know to be moicha. Make sure we get to Bava Basra, the Cheskes HaBatim, we will learn that after 3 years a person has a chazaka, and if you want to destroy or challenge that chazaka, you have to be moicha. In other words, you go and take Edom and you make a protest, and you say, it does not belong to Yanko, it belongs to me. Once you make that protest, that undermines the other person's chazaka. But that's only if you have a godel. If you have a cotton, kim dole mochi, he's not going to be moicha because he doesn't know to be moicha. We said he's 8 or 10, and he's only 3 or 5 years old. And they've been garnished. That being the case, Kim Goymachi, also Lechzukim, they were afraid that the Korot will be machzik, and the property will say, it's my property. So these are three halachas that Rav Huna said. Omer Rav Ashmami named Rav Huna. From Rav Huna we can derive that Ein machzikim nechzei katon vafilu higdil. That you cannot be masik, you cannot establish a chazak of nifse cotton, not only during the years that the cotton was a cotton, because the cotton was not moicha, he was not bar mitzvah, but even after he becomes bar mitzvah, if the korah remains in the property until the bar mitzvah boy now has become 16 or 17 or 18, so he's been sitting in the property unchallenged, not only for the years prior to the cotton's bar mitzvah, but even in the years after the cotton's bar mitzvah, and he's been there for more than 3 years, I would say now he certainly has a chazaka. And the answer is no, he doesn't have a chazaka. What's the reason? Why? Because, as we said, the cotton didn't realize that this property belongs to him. He was only a cotton. So now when the gadol continues to work the property and live there and work there and all that, the cotton has no idea that it's really his. Until someone tells him in later years, cotton, do you know that you have the title to this property? I knew nothing. So therefore the other person who's there, that korev, it does not belong to him, he does not get a chazaka, even after 3 years, achar shehigdel. V'lo yomarin ela b'achad the abba. That that we said back on the Amud Aleph, don't allow a korev to take over, that's only an achad abba, the brother from the father's side. Because then we're afraid that he's going to go and say the property is his. But if it's only a half-brother from the same mother, we have nothing to worry about. Because two brothers from different mothers, they're not going to, you don't have to worry that he's going to say the property is his, because you yarshin from the father. And therefore you don't have to worry about the mother situation. We're going to talk about this a little further later. You only have to worry about if you're talking about a field. Avubabati, if you're talking about an apartment building, a house, less limba. You don't have to worry about that. What's the reason why you don't have to worry about that, says Rashi? Because the Shechinim know who owns the property. People in the fields, not necessarily do other farmers know who owns the field, because as you know, many owners don't work the field themselves. They have the owners that works there, they have Piyalim working there, they don't know. But who owns a house? You know who owns the house, because who? We're not talking about, you know, commercial properties like we have today. We're talking about private houses, and therefore everybody knows who used to live in the house for the last 20 years, who never passed away, and left over the property for a son or for someone else. So this is well known. So you can allow even a brother and a sister and anybody else to go and take over the property, because the Shechinim know who the real owner is, and when this cotton becomes a gadol, he will become apprised of who owns the property. I'm sorry, once again?
What about long-term squatters?
That's a big problem. Here, our Gemara is only talking about the issue of that since we know the property belongs to the cotton, and the cotton cannot work the property, who are we going to allow to enter into the property and work with it to produce income? And vis-a-vis that, the Gemara says it really depends on the nature of the property. If it's Ara, don't let in a Karev. If it's Bati, if it's houses, we will let in a Karev. Why? Because the Shechinim know who it belongs to. Uba'arat namili amar, that we said don't allow a Karev, is by fields, elderly of it itita, that there is no document that sets out who's the owner of this property. Rashi says itita means a shtar chaluka. In other words, when the original owner passed away and there was an estate, there was a probate, and the court set out the terms of the probate that Yankel owns this property, and Beryl owns this property, and Shmuel owns that property. So since there is a document that says that this property belongs to the cotton, so you don't have to worry about a karev entering into the property, because the cotton in later years will be able to show the shtar chaluk. You don't have to worry. Now that's what Rava said initially, but the Gemara concludes otherwise. Bottom line is Loishna Achri Abba, Loishna Achri Ima, Loishna Arata, Loishna Bati, Loishna Avid Inta, Loishna Li Avid Inta, Loi Machsinan. You're just looking for trouble if you're going to allow an immediate family member to take over the property, because when this cotton becomes a goggle, he'll have no idea as to the history, and you cannot rely on Shechinim, you can't rely on documents. You gotta be worried that the person who has been in this property for a bunch of years, he's gonna say, it's been my property for the last 5 years, 10 years, nobody has protested, I am a chazaka, all of you guys can just go, I have no interest, and you have no interest, I have no interest in speaking to you, and you have no interest in the property. And unfortunately, we all know that even today, there are always, or not always, but there are often machloikis in close families as to who owns this and who owns that, and it's very unfortunate. Okay, from here, for the next 10-20 lines, the Gemara is going to tell us a story about a sabta with three daughters. Sabta nowadays normally means a grandmother, but lav dafka grandmother, it can just mean an older lady. Anyway, what's the story? You have a sabta, the sabta, the havala klas bansa. She had three daughters. Ishtaboy Eva Choda Brata. Of the four people that we're talking about, the sabta and the three daughters, two of them, meaning the sabta, and one of the three daughters, unfortunately, were taken as hostages. Achman Litzlah. Idach Tarti Bansa, of the remaining two daughters, Shchiva Chodaminayu, one of them, Rachman Litzlan, died, not necessarily at the same time as the captivity of the hostages. She may have died 5 years ago, whatever, she died. Vishavka Yanuka, and she left over a child, only one child, a cotton, and that cotton was the sole Yoirish of his mommy and of his daddy. Okay, there are no men in the situation. Nobody here is married, so you won't ask, well, maybe the husband takes over Yerusha. Sinishto, come on, there's no husband here. So we started off with four people. We end off with four people, but different people. Meaning, just to review again the fact pattern, we have the Sabta and one of the daughters are in captivity. We have another daughter that Baruch Hashem is fine and wonderful. We have another daughter that passed away and left over a yenuka, a child, a cotton. Now, the Sabta owned the piece of property. Should we allow Kroivim in or not? Is Amar Baya. Hey Chinavin, what should we do? Like Manu Lenechse Biyad the Achsa, the most logical alternative would be, a logical option is, that the remaining daughter, that Baruch Hashem is alive, who is not taken into captivity, let her take over the property on behalf of her mother, and her sister, and her nephew. Says Yimora, the Dilma Shechiva Sabta, maybe Sabta passed away. They Marin Karlenechse Kata. So who owns the property now? Part of the property is owned by the cotton. Obviously not all the property. The cotton would own one third of the property. How does he own one third? Because of his mommy that never passed away. So he had three daughters. The cotton would own a third. If you're going to go and allow one of the sisters, that's the only sister that's around, because the other sister is in captivity and one sister died. If you're going to allow her to take over, then she's going to be taking over property on behalf of the cotton, because maybe the mother Sabta passed away. So a third of the property belongs to the cotton. And we just said now, ain't my ring covered, it's the cotton. Let's perhaps put the nechasim in the hands of the tinnik, in the hands of the cotton. So maybe the Sabta is still alive. We said on the Amar Aleph, Amar of Huna, we're not married cotton and nechse shavui. Why not? Because the cotton doesn't have enough das to go and do what you have to do with the property. It might be mafsid the property. It might ruin it. So they're the only guys left from the mishpacha, the remaining sister, together with the tinnik. So you can't give it to the achsa because of the tinnik. You can't give it to the tinnik because he's a cotton. Ain't more than cotton. That's the shovel. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says, I have a great idea. We're going to do something very Solomonic. And that is, Hilkach, Palga Yavina Lo the achsa. We're going to give half of it to the achsa. Why are we going to give half of it to the achsa? Because maybe the mother passed away. And if the mother passed away, she is entitled to a third. In addition to that, maybe the sister passed away, and therefore she's entitled to half of the sister, and therefore the half of the sister would mean a sixth, therefore she'd own a half altogether. So you're going to give her half. The either palga, the other half we're going to go and give to the tinnik, but we can't give it to the tinnik, therefore makmina leva apotropa liyanuka, with the same cheshbon, that if Sabta passed away, the yanuka has gotten legally one third, and since there's one more sister, who never may also have passed away, so we're going to give him that sixth, so that he will have a third, he'll have a half altogether. But not that he's going to work the half, we're going to give it to an apotropos to take off. Rav Omar, Rav says to Abaye, that's a great idea, but since anyway we have to come onto an apotropos for the half that the tinnik, quote unquote, may own, but meanly apotropal irech palga, so we're going to already appoint an apotropal for the whole property. No purpose in splitting the property in two and saying let the achsa work on half of it and the apotropos on the other one. Let the apotropos take care of everything. That was the beginning of the story. Lesoif, later on, Rachman al-Islam, we heard Shema de Shechiva Sabta. Nebuch the Sabta Taka passed away. So what do we do now? Amr Abai, Tiltza Yavina Loli Achsa. One third we're going to give to the achsa, clear cut, it's hers, because Sabta passed away. We have Adam that came and said, we saw Sabta, we were at the Levaya, it was very, very moving and very sad. Never, she's died. She died. So that being the case, the three daughters, all Yash and a third each, and since one daughter died, the Tinnik is going to get that third. So, till Tzivina Levi Asa, give a third outright to the remaining sister that's here. And the other third we're going to go and give to the tinnik. Again, not that he's going to work, we're going to have an apotropos. And the other third, since we don't know yet what happens with the other sister who is a hasnim, is she still alive, or chas v'shalom, is she also dead? Split it up and give a sixth to the sister that's here. So not that we're giving that sixth to the achzor, or the six to the apotropa, that they should own, but that they should go and work the property and do what you got to do to produce income, because hopefully the remaining sister, that other sister in captivity, is going to return. And Rava says once again, like he said before, Rava Amra Miga de Moikam Apotropa Danka, since anyway you agree we have to go and appoint an apotropos for that danka, for that 1/6 on behalf of the tinnik, so then vis-a-vis the tinnik, we're going to have an apotropos for the full half. In other words, not just for the that portion that the tinnik received the danka, but I'm sorry. For the full third. I mean, we have 3/3. 1/3 we give to the achsa, the sister that's here, belongs to her fair and square because never the sabta passed away. 1/3 we're going to go and give to the apotropos on behalf of the tinnik. We can give it to the tinnik, but the tinnik really can't do anything with it, so some guardian, somebody's going to have to take care of it. Now the two dankas, where Abaye said give one danka, 1/6 to the achsa, and 1/6 to the apotropos for the tinnik, says Rabbi, no. Once you're appointing an apotropos for one danka, for 1/6, have an apotropos take over for the full third on behalf of the missing sister. And that's the conclusion of the story with the sabta and the three daughters. I see Barry has a question.
It sounds like we have two apotropos or two separate custodianships. One is for the tinnik entirely, a third, and either a sixth or a third, according to Abaya or Rava, respectively. Why are we saying we give it to the tinnik? We're giving already an apotropos for the third of the tinnik.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving,
I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is let one apotropos do both. The Gemara doesn't address that, and presumably that's what you're going to do. In other words, the portion that goes to the tinnik, all we were concerned about is whether Meiridin Katan Renechse Shavui. The Gemara says you don't have to worry about that anymore because unfortunately the Shavui has passed away. So now it goes and belongs to the Katan directly. So you give it to the Katan. Now, separate from our Gemara, what happens any time you have Yesoyimim that have property? Then the Bezin is going to appoint an apotropos. But not as part of the fabric of our Gemara, which is talking about, do you appoint a Katan for Nechse Shavui? Do you appoint a Korav, the Nechse Katan? So we're going to take care of that 1/3 one way or the other. But now we're concerned about the remaining 1/3 that belongs to the sister who's in captivity. What do we do with that? Vis-a-vis that, says the Gemara, says Abaye, split it up down the middle. 1/6 we're going to go and give to the Achsa who's here to take care of. And 1/6 we're going to go and appoint an apotropos to go and take care of the tinnik, to take care of that 1/6 on behalf of the tinnik. But you're right. In theory, that same apotropos should also be taking care of the rest on behalf of the tinnik, but we're not discussing what the tinnik actually owns. We're only talking about vis-a-vis his relationship with the shofar. So getting back to our Gemara, so therefore Rava says, don't appoint Achsa to take care of 1/6, and Apotropa to take care of 1/6, let the Apotropa take care of the full third. Now we tell another story. Story about Mori Bar Isik. Mori Bar Isik and his father traveled to Bechoizoi. Bechoizoi is quite far. It's a far away distance, and the Gemara cites that from time to time as an example of a property which is far away. So Mori Bar Isik, together with his father, traveled to Bechoizai. Eventually, Mori Bar Isik returned here, back to Bavel, wherever, in Nechweis, and Surin, Nehardo, wherever. And he left behind his father. His father, in the meantime, had gotten married, and had given, and the father and the mother had, Baruch Hashem, a child. That child, of course, was a brother of Mori Bar Isik. Mori Bar Isik knew that child when he was still a kid, but he didn't see him for the next 20 years, because Mori Bar Isik left Bechoizoi, presumably he got married to a kalas that lived here in Chweis, in Nerda, so he's no longer there in Bechoizoi. And in the meantime, the father never passed away, and Mori Bar Isik said Kaddish for a full year, and he davened for an omid beautifully. And Mori Bar Isik took over all the properties that belonged to his father here in Nerda. Now, That younger brother that had been born to the father, who Mori Bar Isik hardly knew, he now comes 20 years later and says, after all, I'm also a brother, I'm also a son, I want half of the properties. I don't recognize you, I don't know you. For all I know, you're an imposter, I'm not going to give you anything. So also the comment of Chizda. So now this brother from Beit Chizoy comes to Rav Chizda and says, Rav Chizda, my brother Mori Bar Isik refuses to give me any of the property. Amalei? So he said, Shapik Amalach. Ezhoktach good, Mori Bar Isik is right. She never says, Abbas v'yaki yoysev v'sechav, v'heim loy hikiruhu. Everybody is familiar with that Chazal. It's a famous Rashi and Chumash. And so therefore, you might recognize Mori Bar Isik because he was older at the time that he left. He left with a Chasim Mezokan. You saw him. He still has a Chasim Mezokan. So you recognize him. However, Mori Bar Isik, when he left town, he was still a little kid. He didn't have a Chasim Mezokan yet. And now you do. So he has a right to go and say, I don't recognize you. So he's right. Omalesi told him, Zil Aisi Saadi di Achvaat. The way to win the case, Mr. Acha from Bechoizoi, is to go and bring Edom that you're a brother. If you can bring Edom, you win the case. Omalei, so the Acha said, Isli Saadi, I want you to know I do have Edom, Vedachli Minei. But they're afraid of Mori Bar Isik, the Gabr Alimahu, because he's a heavy set, tall guy, he's a 6'6". 350 pounds, and he really looks like as a real Heverman, and people are afraid to him. They're afraid they're gonna, just going to step on you and you'll pass away. They're afraid. Amalei, so therefore when Rav Chizda heard that, he said, now Lididei, he said to Mori Bar Isik, Zil Ant, now you should go, Aisi Sari Galav Achuchu, bring proof, bring Adam that he's not your brother. Amalei, so Mori Bar Isik said, Dina Hachi, is that right? After all, I'm the muchzik in the property. If my brother claims, if this person claims he's my brother, he wants to take it, he has to prove the case. Amalei, Sir of Chizda said, Hachi danin aloch ulechol alim de chavrach. Anytime we find a guy who is a gvar alma like you, who has is very threatening in his demeanor and in just in his physical structure, so we're always afraid of what the brother said, that no aid is going to open his mouth. He's afraid that you, Mori Bar Isik, are going to wipe him off the face of the map. And therefore, we cannot find Edom that are going to tell the truth. You're going to have to bring Edom that he's not a brother. Zakti Yumara, Omalei, Soif Soif, Asu Sadi, Velei Masadi, says, now, Mori Bar Isik, I don't understand that, how that is going to help, because if you're telling me that I have to go and bring Edom, I'm going to bring Edom, and they're not going to say Edus like the brother wants me to say. They're going to say Edus like I want them to say. I'm going to hire two Edom to go and say, like me, that I have to be, that I'm not a brother. So what have you accomplished by saying I have to bring the Edom? I'll bring Edom, just like Edom are afraid to say that he is a brother. I'll put the fear into the bones of other Edom to say that I'm not a brother. Amalei, Rav Chizda said, I'm not worried about that. Tarti le'avdi, that a person should be afraid to open his mouth because the other guy is scary and the other guy is intimidating. That's possible. But that a person's going to go and say a lie because he's intimidated, that I'm not concerned about. Tarti le'avdi. L'soif, after a while, also sari di'achvahu. Two Edom, in fact, came and said, yeah, he is a brother, and he's entitled to go and get half of the property. Okay, they weren't afraid. I guess they didn't know who Mori Bar Isik was, and they testified. And guess what? Rav Chizda said, fine. Now, Acha, you own 50%. Omalei, so now Acha said, Lithagli nami mi pardesi u bustani deshasal. I would like also to take 50% of the pardesi, those are the orchards, and bustani, those are, Pardesi says Rashi is Krumim, those are the vineyards, and Bustani are the orchards. I want to take 50% of those. Now even though father, when he was alive, he didn't plant those orchards, he didn't plant those vineyards, Mori Bar Isik did, I want to get 50% of that as well, because it's on father's property, And so therefore I want to split that as well. Amalei. So said now Rav Chisda, good kizok, shapik amalach. Yes, you're 100% right. Did not we learn to the Mishnah? He niyak banam gedoinim uktanim. What happens if a father passed away? He left over a bunch of kids, some that were over bar mitzvah, some that were under bar mitzvah, and the older bar mitzvah kids took over the property and they worked it and they improved it. And when they did that, they did it not only on behalf of themselves but also on behalf of their younger brothers. The chen omer rabba ishbichul amitza, says rabba as well. More on the surface, just to get off on a tangent, just to drop. The halacha on the bottom that we just quoted is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, Masechtas Bava Basra. And now the Gemara says, oh, not only did the Tanoim and the Mishnah say that, but even Rabbah, a very prominent Amoira, also said the same thing, Hishbichu Le'emtza. Top Rashi says, Loi Garcina. Ein Zeh Loshan HaGemara, Lahavi Dibbe Amoiroim, Siyuah LeMishnah. You don't need to go and bring a raya from an Amoira to Halacha and the Mishnah. The Tanoim are obviously are much higher Madrega than the Amoiroim, and don't bring your rayas from Amoiroim to go and support the words of the Mishnah. So either you take out this whole line, or Rashi says, B'dievet, you can be, if you are going to take out the hay from Rabbah and say V'chein Omer Rav, because after all, we have seen in the past that Rav is a Tanahu Palik. So even though you never find Rav's name in a Mishnah, but he is close to the Madrega of all the Tanoim, so yeah, Rav also said his Bichol Ansa. So here too, since Mori Bar Isik was Mishabeach the field, Mashbiach the field, by planting the orchards and the vineyards, the Acha from Bechuzai is entitled to get 50%, like we learned in that Mishnah, and so said Rav. Only Abaya started screaming. Me, Tommy, the two cases are not the same. Hosam Gedoilim Gabi Ketanim Yadi, the Kamachli. There you're talking about Gedoilim and Ketanim together. The older brothers know about their younger brothers, and they say, well, I know that the younger brothers are only 3, 5, and 8 years old. They cannot help in the field. It's okay. We are going to work on their behalf. The Kamachli, the Moichel, they waive their rights vis-a-vis the Ketanim, and they know when the Ketanim become Gedoilim, they'll split. In our case with Mori Bar Isik, Miyoda Velechel didn't even know that this brother is ever going to come. He didn't know that he had brothers. He may not even have known the brother at all. The Gemara assumed before that he knew him as a young kid. Efshiyo, Efshadish, certainly didn't expect him to come and wake up one day and come from Beit Chazoi 20 years later. So when he planted the Kromim and the Bustani, the orchards and the vineyards, he didn't have in mind, so therefore he was not Mavater. It belongs to him. So what's the din now? Rav Chisda said that the Acha can split the Kromim and the Bustani, the Pardesi and the Bustani, and Abaya said, no, that's only by Tanim and not by Doyle. So says the Gemara, Igal Galnutza Matal Kamid Rabami. Apparently Rav Chisda and Rav Chisda and Abaya couldn't come to terms, so they sent the Shaila to Rabami. Amalahu, Gedoilim Izu Amru. Don't you remember we learned at the beginning of today's shir, Tana the Shamalem Ka'aris, when you have a situation where you let a Korah down to the property of a Shavui, then if eventually he has to leave the property because the Shavui returns, then you pay him like a sharecropper. So Zukti Mora, Hashdi Dei Lo Yavina Lech. So at the very, very least, even if we paskin like Rav Chisda, that we're going to go and split it down the middle, Mori Bar Isik together with the Acha, but at the very least, give Mori Bar Isik an amount like an artist, because after all, he went and improved this property on behalf of all of the brothers, including this unknown brother that came from Bar Chizoi. But at the very least, he should get to artist. At least that much. So this psak of Rav Ami now went back to Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda said, one second, me dummy, are the cases the same? Hosam Rishus Nochus, Havlab Rishus Nochus. Rishus says Rashi means Rishus Bezdin. In the case of the Shavui, the Bezdin adjudicated and they said, But over here, Mori Bar Yisik took over on his own. He didn't do it with Shuz Bezin. The oil, besides that, Kotnu. They were reading Karim the Nechse Kotn. At the time that Mori Bar Yisik left Beichai Zoyin, he came here, he was, the brother was just a Kotn. And that being the case, you cannot compare our case to the case of the Shavui, because he, Mori Bar Yisik, was the Karev, that Ein Mayrin Karev Nesekata. He doesn't even deserve that we should have allowed him to go into the property if he has another brother to whom half of the property belongs. Now we sent this Teret, or this new fact of Rav Chizda back to Rav Ami. Nobody told me that he was a cotton. If I would have known he was a cotton, I would have agreed. I would have said that don't give him ka'aris, because he has no business going into the other half of the property and improving it and working on it, because a marine carbon is a cotton. Nobody told me. I thought he was already a god. That's why I said, give him ka'aris. But now that you're telling me that he was just a cotton, then you do not give him ka'aris, because he had no right to go onto the property for the second half in the first place, since it belonged to the Acha who lived in Bay Chosai. With this, we conclude the whole story. And I mention tomorrow, Baisai, we hope to learn in person at the Shul of the Reform Shibul.